Hello, and welcome to Uplifted, where we look at problems in our world and in our lives through an emotional and spiritual lens. The goal is to live our lives better. My name is Meg Luther Lindholm. So in each episode, you're going to hear stories, essays, interviews, poems, words of wisdom about something intrinsic to our lives. It could be relationships, or climate change, or growing older, or financial hardship. I hope you'll come away feeling emotionally strengthened and soothed by what you hear. These days, for most of us, the biggest challenges we face are connected to COVID-19. This invisible, airborne, modern-day plague is reshaping the way we live. It's kind of impossible to know at this point where we're headed and how long it will last and how long it will take for that magic bullet of a vaccine to be created. But there are things we can do while we're waiting in this hard time, things that might make even a small difference in how we feel about ourselves and our lives. So I want to start this episode of Uplifted by asking a basic question that does not have a simple or a single answer. How are you coping with COVID?
I'm doing what everybody does, which is whatever you can do. So it's stressful and it's hard and it's confusing. And I am listening to a lot of music. And trying to get outside for walks at least every now and again. And sometimes just flat out being scared, and sometimes finding ways to be constructive and to try and make things because it helps to feel like I'm doing something useful. So I'm doing a lot of writing and trying to put it out there in the world because that's what it is that I'm able to do. I'm Lynn Unger. I'm a poet. I'm a Unitarian Universalist minister. I'm a dog trainer. Sorry, I do have dogs, and barking is a distinct hazard. Pandemic. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up, just for now, on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing. Pray. Touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has come clear. Do not reach out your hands, reach out your heart, reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live.
That was Lynn Unger. She's a Unitarian Universalist minister. And her poem, Pandemic, let me tell you, it has really hit a nerve, a global nerve. She's given us hope and much needed perspective on how we can all get through this.
Hi, this is Tim, and I live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. A 91-year-old relative was admitted to New York Hospital with pneumonia yesterday, and that's all I know. His wife of 60 years died last week. They were loving friends to me from earliest childhood. They had no children. There's no close family. I can't visit, and my relative will be much too busy, either fighting or dying, to interrupt with messages from another world. And so, a little numbed, I guess I'm going to make some tea and start my day.
Trauma is something that a lot of us have experienced and that Dr. Shauna Springer knows a lot about. She's a psychologist and a trauma expert. She's also out with a new book called Warrior. She says that the sense of danger and fear that many of us are feeling right now is a way of life for some people.
I think that what many Americans are feeling right now is what many service members, veterans, and first responders have felt for many years in terms of this ever-present awareness of what could happen. There is a sense when you've been, for example, deployed to a combat zone and seen these things that are outside the margins of what most of us experience, there's a new sense of what could happen when society goes into survival mode. And that kind of ever-present thought or feeling about how things could go south. And people are, as we see by shortages of basic supplies, they are reacting out of anxiety and a fear of scarcity and trying to kind of, hoard supplies for themselves.
And people who work in the military or other, sort of dangerous careers presumably get some form of training for how to handle trauma. And I'm not saying that that necessarily is enough or helps people, especially after the experience of the trauma, but we're all walking into this completely clueless in a sense, right?
Right. And, what they also get in the military and first responder communities, they learn that they have to put their own rights aside for the good of the group. They learn that in an interdependent community, like a military or first responder community, where they are there to serve and protect others, that our individual rights do not matter as much when we're serving a kind of mission that relates to keeping everyone safe. That's something I'm really worried about, because I think for many years, Americans have been taught and felt that their individual rights are so important that sometimes their individual rights should trump other people's rights to being safe. And so, for example, people that feel like you can't tell me to, be in my house and I'm going to go out and go where I want to, this is an extension of people feeling like that rugged individualist, individual rights matter more than anything else. And that's not the way for us to think right now if we want to preserve our way of life and the safety of our society in a long run kind of way.
Dr. Springer says there are things we can do to feel better and that there are ways to reduce our feelings of anxiety and helplessness. How are you counseling people who are telling you how afraid they are for themselves and their loved ones?
Well, one of the things I think we can do is try to be analytical about the anxiety that we feel. So just a simple exercise like taking out a sheet of paper and writing on one side, here are the things I can't control, and then here are the things I can control, and making an action plan based on the things that you can control will combat the learned helplessness that otherwise people will feel if they're told to just shelter in place. And that usually leads people to kind of just sit and wait and, wait on bad news. So if we can get ourselves moving in ways that will help us learn something new or deepen our skills or control something that is under our control, that'll keep us moving in the right direction rather than feeling stuck and kind of helpless. We have to continue to sometimes live within the uncertainty. And it's very hard to do. It's easy to say, it's hard to do. But I think the way to do that is to ask ourselves in this space of time, what is in my control and what are my deepest values? And how can I continue to live in a way that will honor my deeper values and position me for growth when society gets back to normal?
And here's the thing. Dr. Springer says that we need to be intentionally and relentlessly creative in coming up with ways to help ourselves. And that means actually not so much focusing on ourselves as focusing on others. Yeah, just kind of flipping our perspective.
There's a lot of kind of wellness magazines that encourage us to do things like take a bubble bath and, you know, call a friend and, you know, have a cup of tea. And those things are nice, but they are really about focusing on ourselves and soothing ourselves. And what I mean by being creative is thinking beyond ourselves about what our deeper values are. So social connection is something that we need to continue as a society, to work through our fear. And so what we can do is we can make a list of the people in our lives that we really care about. And then we can put into our phones a reminder to call one of them every day on a rotating basis for the foreseeable future, so that every day we have at least one conversation. And it's not a conversation where we just call them and kind of dump on people like everything that we're stressing about, but it's a conversation where we give people the opportunity to really talk about how they're doing, and we listen and we give space and we create that connection and we create that trust. And to that list of people that we care about, I would say, you know, add a few more, even if you're not as close to them, add some people that are especially isolated right now, you know, people that don't have roommates or, you know, maybe just got a divorce or people that you know are alone right now. Let's look out for those people, because when we do that kind of thing, we're living in accord with our higher values. And that is what allows us to survive times of uncertainty. One of the books that I think is really relevant right now is a timeless one, Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. When we have meaning in our lives and purpose, it is the thing that helps us to survive what are unthinkable conditions. And what we're dealing with right now, at least, is not nearly as unthinkable as what people have been through in, say, the Holocaust. So, you know, there's a lot of anxiety and uncertainty, and I don't want to minimize it. But I think that given that example, there's a lot we can do to survive and even thrive through times of uncertainty. You know, another example of something that is under our control that will help us with our anxiety is we should not put ourselves in solitary confinement. Sheltering in place doesn't mean, you know, don't breathe the air outside because you could get sick from breathing the very air that is outside your house. So there's no reason why we can't get outside and look up at the night sky or sit outside, have a picnic lunch every day right now. There's a reason why solitary confinement and not being in the open air is really a punishment that's been used in the justice system to really... when people are not behaving in ways that are okay, they're put into solitary confinement. So we can do that to ourselves if we're not careful, or we can say, no, the virus, you know, is passed through contact with people and surfaces. And so there's no reason why I can't take a walk in the woods as long as I maintain social distance. And when you do, look people in the eye and greet them and wish them well, and just realize that people are feeling anxieties that maybe we can't even possibly imagine. And this is a time in our history where it's really challenging and unprecedented, but it's affecting all of us. And so there is this opportunity, I think, if we do this right, to really start to overcome some of the divisiveness and the divided nature of our society, and realize that we are all one people.
That was Dr. Shauna Springer, a psychologist who's been writing about helping people through this difficult time of COVID-19. She's also out with a new book called Warrior.
Hi, I'm Lindsay from Colorado. I wrote this recently on social media. I said, everyone's struggling right now in some way. We tear up at our personal pain and the scope of the global pain and intersperse those times with Zoom happy hours, prayer, kitchen dancing, and memes that make us laugh because they hit so close to home. In the spirit of authenticity, I have been struggling. I'm an ARDS survivor, acute respiratory distress syndrome, who knows the horror of a ventilator for months and have scarred lungs, so I'm on oxygen every night. I wrote in my book, The Long Awakening, about having PTSD and the anatomy of a panic attack, which is common to ARDS survivors and others who've had near-death experiences and trauma. I've been emotionally healthy for so many years, but I had a really rough bit last week. I'm getting better, but it was rough. So I thought I would share with you a couple of things that I'm doing. I needed to take some time off work, and I'm trying not to think about work. And when I do, I'm contemplating how am I going to be able to return to work with a sense of essentialism. I'm also letting myself sleep as much as I need to, which is a lot. I'm trying to remind myself. I'm reminding myself to untense my muscles and take a breath and just be aware of how often my whole body is tense. I am taking walks and I'm sitting or walking in the sun as much as I possibly can. On some days, and I am a notorious frenetic list maker, I'll write something down just so I can check it off. And on some days, I just give myself one goal. On other days, I'll give myself three goals, and one of them is a phone call. And some days I go, nope, no goals today. If I made my bed, that is a good day. Every morning, I'm also really leaning into my faith and prayer and scripture reading and quiet, just a sense to be still with God. And sometimes that's the only good part of the day that I'll have, and it's the best part of the day and the most important for me. Also, I ended my social media post with this that I really believe. The greatest of these is love, and we will all get through this.
Forty Early Mornings Alone by Rumi from The Illuminated Rumi. A new moon teaches gradualness and deliberation and how one gives birth to oneself slowly. Patience with small details makes perfect a large work like the universe. What 9 months of attention does for an embryo, 40 early mornings alone will do for your gradually growing wholeness.
You've been listening to Uplifted. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope if you did that you'll share it with others. I want to thank everyone who contributed to this episode, including Lynn Unger, Dr. Shauna Springer, Tim Page and Lindsay O'Connor, who shared their personal stories, Lori Baker, who read the poem by Rumi, and Darren Henze, who composed and performed all the music. My name is Meg Luther Lindholm. Until next time, stay safe and take care.